Postovania. Malo punija. Dobrodošli. Thank you. Služite? Si? Služite means please listen. Yeah, it's close. It's a combination Croatian, Slovenian, and broken English. Okay. So. Somehow devotees go a little nuts once in a while. It's just normal. Normal people get nuts when they get intoxicated. Devotees go a little crazy when they get intoxicated on the holy name. You are too late. But thank you for your kind offer, which is good for next time. So we'll just go right into the verse. Shri na shringa jai na shringa palada desha jaya padma mukha padma bringa ugram virya mahavishnu jvalantam sarvato mukha na shringa vishinam badram mityam mityam namami aham Shri Nusringha, Jai Nusringha, Jai Jai, Shri Nusringha De, Plata Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma, Vringha, Ugram Virya Mahavishnu, Jvalantam Sarvato Mukha, Nusringha Vishinam Badram, Nityam Nityam Namami Aham, Shri Nusringha Bhagavan Ki Jai. Om Gyan Timidandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. For the last few days, we've been systematically speaking about Lord Nrisimhadev, Prahlad Maharaj's instructions, and various mantras. And so in order to continue with that mood and culminate with the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev, we'll start from where we left off. So Prahlad Maharaj is preaching to his father. His father is, Prabhupada said, for the atheist, God is death. No one can deny the existence of God, because no one can deny the existence of God's power. Although some may deny the existence of God's personal feature, they are still under the influence of God's energies. And Prabhupada would say, Nrisimhadev appeared just to teach the atheists that there is God in the form of death. Sometimes we find people say there's no God. We say, well, what do you believe in death? And they can't, all they can say is, yes, that's true, but that's God's power within this material world to take away everything that you are attached to, including your body. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's compassionate. He loves all living entities, because one who loves Krishna loves everyone. But that love manifests itself through compassion. Compassion, we might say, the mother can understand that the helplessness of a child, and therefore she shows her love in a compassionate way by taking complete care of the child's needs and the child's desires. So that's an element of love coming out in the form of compassion. Actually, compassion is the heart of love. If love had a heart, compassion would be that heart. To try to show your concern for others by giving them the best thing that they can possibly receive. So one who is in knowledge knows that everyone is part of Krishna and everyone is looking for Krishna, but not knowing where to look for it. So therefore, those who have that knowledge, they use it in a compassionate way to awaken the sleeping conditioned souls. Prahlad Maharaj is a manifestation of that in the highest degree. He wants to help his father. But his father can't hear because we understand that one is too attached to the modes of material energy, too attached to the happiness of this material world and all the activities that material nature offers. Although you can speak the best and highest philosophy in a concerned way, can't hear. The words come out and the sound is there, but still it doesn't take root in the mind or in the heart. So not only that, but Prabhupada would say, quoting this old adage, that by giving milk to a snake, milk is very nice, nutrition, very substance, it's good for developing higher brain tissues, the miracle food for babies and old men. But if you give milk to a snake, a poisonous snake, his venom only increases. So trying to help his father by teaching him what he needs to hear, he becomes more angry. Now he wants to take revenge on his son by killing his son. He orders his son to be killed in so many different ways. By being thrown off a cliff, by being thrown under stampeding elephants, by being thrown in a pot of hot boiling oil, by being stabbed by spears, by being thrown in a pit of venomous snakes, by being, what we say, the Brahmins, the wicked Brahmins under Harikashipu's care were chanting mantras to kill him. I'll tell you a nice story, because it's not in the Bhagavatam. It's in the Hari Bhakta Sudodaya. And the Hari Bhakta Sudodaya is a 100-page book where 50 pages are dedicated to Prahlad Maharaj and the rest are to Dhruva Maharaj. In that book, it talks about how Hiranyakashipu gave his son to these Brahmins who could chant these powerful tantric mantras which could kill people. There's weapons that exist on the gross level. We know about those, but there's weapons on the subtle level too. And weapons on the subtle level, although you can't see them, they're motivated by sound. And they can destroy a person for one who knows how to use these weapons. In fact, they're more powerful than the gross weapons, and they're more accurate in directing themselves to a person. And so these Brahmins were chanting these mantras to kill Prahlad. And Prahlad was like this, in complete absorption on the lotus feet of Krishna. And the mantras could not touch him. The thing about when you throw mantras, you know what happens? If it doesn't go to the person you try to kill, it comes back to the person who throws it. That's the danger of having it. And so the power of the mantras were reversing because Prahlad was completely under the care of Krishna's protection, could not be harmed in the slightest. The powers of the mantras were starting to come back to the Brahmins, and the Brahmins were feeling it. They were being attacked really heavy. What did they do? They said, "Prahlad, save us." The same person they tried to kill, they said, "Prahlad, you save us." And you know what Prahlad did? He prayed to Krishna, "Please retract the mantras." He did. And so the Brahmins were spared. That's a Vaishnava. It's hard to understand that mentality because we think, if someone hates me or someone wants to destroy me, I'm not going to do anything good for them. I might not even retaliate, but I may not do anything to help them. But Vaishnava's not like that. Haridas Thakur was being beaten in 22 marketplaces by these brutal executioners, and he was praying for their deliverance, praying that they could get the mercy of the Lord. That's a Vaishnava. It's hard to understand the heart of a Vaishnava. That's a pure Vaishnava. Doesn't have any enmity, envy, or any bad feelings towards anyone, because he's completely in love with Krishna. And therefore he sees Krishna in the heart of all living beings. So that's Prahlad Maharaj. And so his father continued. He did one thing that's also not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. He threw him in an ocean. And on top of the ocean, he threw a gigantic mountain to cover the ocean where he was thrown. So even if he could get out of the ocean, he couldn't get away from the mountain. Nothing could hurt Prahlad. Krishna is all-powerful. And if Rake Krishna Moreke, More Krishna Rakeke. If Krishna wants to destroy someone, nobody can save him. If Krishna wants to protect someone, nobody can destroy them. And one who takes shelter of Krishna is always in that mood of protection. We may not understand how Krishna does that, but he does. He does that. And there are so many, many wonderful stories, especially in our ISKCON society, where over the years, devotees have been saved by very dangerous situations only by the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev many, many times. Many, many times. But I'll go on. After his father saw that none of the arrangements he made to kill his son were working, he was quite amazed. He was actually really amazed. And he said, if I could find that verse. Now Harani Kashipu is really, really angry. When Harani Kashipu understood the situation, his body trembled in extreme anger. Finally, he decided to kill his son. But one thing he said, if I could find that verse, it's so nice to read. I'll find it because I know it's right around here. Hare Krishna. Sorry, I can't find it. Supreme Personality, this is Prahlad Maharaj speaking. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Controller and Time Factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital forces of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation, and he maintains it. He says, Prabhupada says, give up your mentality. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy in this world. This is a nice point. He says, because everyone makes things, this is my friend, this is my enemy. But Prahlada Maharaj gives us a different understanding. He says, there is no such thing as enemies. But when the mind acts in a certain way, we create friends and we create enemies. No one is your friend, no one is your enemy. People become your friend because Krishna shows his mercy upon you. But ultimately, the best friend is Krishna, or the only friend is Krishna. I'm trying to find that verse. Most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, who is all-pervading. I just want to find that verse. I'm sorry, it's so nice. But what he's saying, he says to Prahlad Maharaj, I'll paraphrase the verse. He says to Prahlad Maharaj, where do you get your power from? And Prahlad Maharaj says, there's only one source of power. That power that comes by way of all power is coming from the same source, that is Krishna. Vishnu, he says. Therefore, Father, you should understand your power is also given by Krishna Vishnu. Oh, that's the last thing he wanted to hear. And my power is coming from the person who's my enemy. He became even more angry. And then he's chastising his son even more. I have conquered all enemies in all 10 directions, but if a person is victorious, a fool thinks that because he's conquered all enemies, all directions, but if he hasn't conquered over the 6 enemies, then he hasn't conquered over any enemy. What are the 6 enemies? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, and Matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. Being obsessed with anger, Haranyakashipu, who is a great in bodily strength, thus chastises exalted devotee son Prahlad with harsh words. Cursing him again and again, Haranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his throne, and in great anger struck his fist against the column. From within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. This is Narada Muni speaking. My dear Yudhisthira, this sound reached even the abode of the demigods like Brahma. When the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets will be destroyed. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Haranyakashipu desired to kill his own son. Isn't that amazing? He would think, how could a father kill their own son? Devotees can't even conceive of anything like that. What to speak of, even thinking about doing something like that. But that's the demons. Prabhupada said, the demons will do anything. He said it many times. There's nothing they won't do. They'll kill their father, their mother, anyone who's in their way with their sense gratification, they will try to stop them, and if they can't do that, they will try to destroy them. That's the demons. And there are many demons. The world is filled with demons, but they're not like Haranyakashipu. They're little demons. They kind of run around, make noise, and kind of like make policies to cause people's life to become miserable. They build bombs and they create all kinds of disturbances for people on all different levels. They wear suit and tie. They may also look very nice from the external appearance. But their hearts are just full of envy and lust. They want to destroy and just try to enjoy more and more. That's a demon. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Haranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard the wonderful tumultuous sound, which he had never heard before. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. to prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly house. You can just put in that little cup. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, I found it, where is your Lord? Is he present in his pillar? Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, yes, my Lord, he is present everywhere. Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad was unmistakably true, the Lord appears from the pillar. This is an interesting point. When a pure devotee says something in relationship to the Lord, because the Lord loves his pure devotee more than he loves himself, the Lord has said that many times, my pure devotees exist in my heart, and I will give up my own life, the Lord speaks like this, if in order to serve my pure devotee. We can't imagine how much the Lord loves his devotee. The Lord loves everyone. His love is as great as he is. And how do you understand that? We can. We know God is great. And his love is as great as he is, or maybe sometimes we might even say it's greater. Because love is the most powerful force in existence. And so, when the pure devotee says something, the Lord wants to keep the word of his pure devotee just to glorify his pure devotee. And to say, see, my devotee is never wrong. So Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, he's in the pillar. The Lord came from the pillar just to prove that my devotee never says anything wrong. The Lord appeared as half man and half lion to that Hiranyakashipu, who could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as he declares in the Bhagavad Gita, Kantiya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. My devotee never is perishable. By manifesting his form as Nisringadeva, the Lord will preserve the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in that form that could not be said to be fully man or a lion. When Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could never be ascertained by either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, what is this creature that is half man and half lion? He's looking. Don't put your back directly to the deities. Yeah, sit a little on the side. Thank you. Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrisimhadeva was standing before him. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and emotionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and the entire body touched the sky. Got the picture? Okay. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of a moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Hiranyakashipu murmured him to himself, Lord Vishnu, who possesses great power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such attempt? Who can fight with me? I think one of the problems with the demons is that they become proud. Thinking like this and taking of his cup, club, Hiranyakashipu, attacked the Lord like an elephant. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. He was powerful. He was also big. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. He illuminates everything by his effulgence. And then it goes on to describe the fight. It's a wonderful fight. The Lord likes to fight. Sometimes we say, that where does that fighting propensity come from? We have that. To fight is natural. To love is natural. To fight is natural. Where does those propensities come from? They come from God. Because we are part of God, we have that tendency to love, we have that tendency to fight also. Some people say, I don't want to fight, but they're fighting on another level. The spirit of wanting to be better or to defeat someone is always there in every living entity. You would see it even in the animals. It's natural. And so, in order to make it very dramatic, I mean, the Lord could have just, finished. But then there wouldn't have been much of an audience. He wanted to make a nice play, special effects, keep the cast moving, give everybody a paycheck at the end. He wanted to make it exciting. But the thing is, the demigods didn't. The demigods thought, what is he doing? He's playing with this demon. And when Hiranyakashipu at one point charged the Lord, and it seemed like that he was beating the Lord with his club, the demigods became really fearful. And they started to hide behind the clouds, thinking, what will happen next? If Hiranyakashipu wins this fight, he will become more angry at us, and we will suffer. So they were afraid. Prahlad's there. He's with a garland. He's ready. He's holding his hands in supplication, praying to the Lord. And the Lord is having a good time. But he's angry. He is angry. Prabhupada said, the Lord's love is powerful. The Lord's anger is also powerful. When the Lord becomes angry at someone, there's nothing left. Just by, even if he simply glances at the material energy in an angry way, he could destroy the whole cosmic creation, not just this planet. Krishna's powerful. His power cannot be measured by anyone. But his power is beyond all what we say limitations. There's no limit to the Lord's power. He might use his power in a limited way, but if he ever shows his unlimited power, no one would be left. That's the Lord. And so in this case, he was angry. Why was he angry? His devotee was offended. His devotee was vilified, criticized, and attacked in so many ways. When the demigods came to Lord Vishnu at the beginning, when Hiranyakashipu took his power, the Lord said, I know everything about this demon, but only when he harasses my pure devotee will I do anything. The demigods were not pure devotees. They're devotees, but they still have some material desire. What is that material desire? They want to rule planets. They want to have some power of position. They're attached. They're great devotees. They're very powerful devotees. They have great power. They also have great service. But at the same time, they're attached to their position. Therefore, the Lord doesn't sometimes act for the benefit of the demigods. Only when Lord Brahma comes and makes his petition, then the Lord says, all right, give me some time, I'll be here. But when Indra came, when Indra was in trouble, the Lord didn't come. Indra had to suffer so many different ways when he had a fight with Vritrasura. So this is the Lord. But when his pure devotee, he immediately becomes, what we say, angry. And you know what the Lord did? He laughed. Have you ever heard an angry laugh? When a person becomes angry, they just laugh, and it's really horrible. You did it. You do that. Well, we'll give you some prashadam so you don't do it. So just prashadam's coming. Just I can understand. But yeah, it kind of really unsettles your mind when you hear someone laughing in anger. And the Lord was laughing, but he was extremely angry. And all he could see when he came from the pillar was that demon Hiranyakashipu. He was focusing on that. But in order to make it exciting, and you know, Hiranyakashipu is the Lord's devotee. He's Jai in the spiritual world. He fell to the material world because of an offense to the four Kumaras. And therefore, he had to take birth three times as demons. This is the first manifestation. And therefore, sometimes you read in this narration, Hiranyakashipu is addressed as Shri. Shri Hiranyakashipu. He's a great devotee, but he's in a demon's body. And he's acting like a demon. So the Lord took him. Finally, he grabbed Hiranyakashipu with one hand, and with the other hand, he put him on his lap. He could have killed him in so many different ways, but he wanted to keep the promise of Brahma. Not to be killed on land, water, or in the sky. Not to be killed inside or outside. Not to be killed by any weapon made by man. Not to be killed in the daytime or in the nighttime. The Lord came at dusk between the junction of day and night. He was not a man or an animal. He was a combination of both. He didn't kill him on the land, sea, or air. He killed him on his lap. He didn't use any weapons because sometimes they say the nails are not weapons. So in keeping all the promises of Lord Brahma, he gave Hiranyakashipu a successful heart operation. Sometimes we say the patient died, the operation was a success. So this is what... And the Lord took... Now this is an interesting point of this whole thing when he killed Hiranyakashipu. He took his intestines and he garlanded himself with his intestines. He wanted to accept an offering from Hiranyakashipu, and therefore he accepted the garland like the intestines like a garland, that his devotee was actually offering him something. Although Hiranyakashipu didn't willingly do it, but the Lord wanted to show some mercy, so he took and put his intent. That's why he did that, not just so he could look cool. Or, you know, some of the New Age people would think, that's a good t-shirt to make, you know. So, and he took Hiranyakashipu's heart and threw it, boom, a distance away. What happened after that was all the demoniac soldiers, thousands of them, who were in the army of Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord. And you can see the picture. The Lord manifested 16 arms. And with these 16 arms, within a few moments, he destroyed thousands and thousands of demons. Devotees are nonviolent, yes? Devotees love every living entity. Devotees don't want to see anybody get hurt. Sometimes a devotee will accidentally step on an ant or cause an insect to die. A devotee will think, oh, I shouldn't have did that. I'm so sorry. A devotee is like that. Doesn't want to harm anyone. It doesn't like to see anyone harm. But when demons killed, it's a celebration. It's a celebration. Why? The demons get, they get the mercy of the Lord because they get liberation. They go back to the Brahman. They get to the, enter into the Brahmano fulgence of the Lord. In other words, they get a form of liberation. And the most important thing is that their demonic activities are stopped. So devotees feel happy when demons are killed. Yes? Nobody's happy. Are you guys happy? How many are happy? Say, Jai!
Jai!
That's good. Thank you. For those of you who didn't say Jai, you can say it later. So, yeah, the devotees always... Because the Lord never does anything wrong. You can't blame the Lord for anything. Whatever He does is for the good of the person He does it to, and it benefits everyone. And so, after the demons were killed, the demon was killed, the Lord was, and He killed all the armies, the Lord was still in anger. Brahma's there, Shiva's there, Lakshmi's there. The demigods from the higher planets are all there representing the different devas. Brahma is thinking, what are we going to do now? He's really ferocious. So Brahma says, I can't go. He says to Shiva, you go. Shiva says, forget it. Lakshmi, you're his wife. You go. That's not, I know my husband, it doesn't look like him. I've never seen him in that form. She couldn't approach. Brahma was without anybody to go to approach the Lord. So he looked and he saw Prahlad. And he said, Prahlad, only you can go. And Prahlad, Jai Sisi Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. And with a heart full of love, and a garland in his hand, he approached the Lord with great feelings, and he offered the garland to the Lord. When the Lord saw his little devotee standing there, the Lord became pacified. His anger was completely... And then he took Prahlad and put him on his lap. And with his hand, he put it on the head of Prahlad, just to show his affection for his devotee. And then, of course, the Lord was so grateful for the love of his devotee. It's amazing. This is the Lord. Try to understand this point. The Lord gives you the intelligence. The Lord gives us the ability. The Lord gives us the facility. The Lord gives everything. And you do something, He gives you the credit. That's Krishna. He gives everything. Sometimes he peers in someone's dream and says, you know, my temple is in disrepair. Go fix it. And then he arranges for that devotee to get everything he needs. The temple gets repaired. That devotee gets the honor. That's Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord wanted to somehow or other reciprocate the love that Prahlad had for him. And the Lord said to him, I'm so grateful. Please ask from me anything. Prahlad Maharaj was there. He said, my dear Lord, I'm not a vinik. I'm not a merchant. I don't worship you for something. I worship you out of love. The Lord was appreciating, but he said, please take a benediction. The Lord wanted to give something to his devotee. He was feeling, I have to reciprocate with my devotee somehow. Please ask. And then Prahlad Maharaj said, please liberate my father. That's what he said. The person who tried to kill him and was just now killed by the Lord, he said, give my father liberation. The Lord said, you don't even have to ask for that. When he was killed, it already happened. Please ask for something else. Prahlad Maharaj couldn't think of anything to ask, but the Lord was persistent. Finally, Prahlad Maharaj said something. He said, in this world, there are so many fools and rascals. They're making a humbug civilization. They're trying to be happy by sense gratification and by material advancement. Let me be your instrument. Let me stay in this world and preach to these, Prabhupada uses the word, fools and rascals. When the Lord heard that, he was so much overwhelmed with love for his devotee. The devotee was only asking for the benefit of someone else. How is that possible? Because a devotee is full with love for the Lord, and he doesn't need anything. One who has that love for the Lord has everything. Money, position, power, influence, praise. Anything you can think of doesn't really attract the devotee. Why? Because he has something better, the love of Krishna. And Krishna's love is complete. One who loves Krishna, one can experience the love for Krishna. At every moment, Krishna is always there. Sometimes I tell the devotees, you want to experience, you want to understand how much Krishna loves you, don't chant your rounds for one day and see what happens. Don't chant your rounds for 2 days and then see what happens. Try it for 3 days. Then you'll understand how much Krishna is giving you. As soon as you pull back, you can understand how much you actually have. We don't recommend that experiment. But it's a good way to understand that Krishna is giving us so much at every moment. It's not like it's just happening in intervals. It's happening every moment. He's always reciprocating with the devotee. And as the devotee returns his reciprocation, Krishna gives more. He gives more. Prabhupada would say, Prabhupada would quote his father. His father would say to him, how much can you give Krishna with two hands that he is holding with 10? You're giving with two hands. How much can how much can you hold in two hands that he's giving you with 10 hands? Well, Krishna is giving us so much. And the devotee only wants to serve Krishna because why? Because he knows that is the perfection of life. Just to be the servant of Krishna's servant. Gopir Bhattir Kabalayor Dasa Dasa Anudas. So Prahlad Maharaj is the pinnacle of surrender, compassion, devotion. Srila Prabhupada in his last days in 1977, decided to speak only on the 9th chapter of the 7th canto, the prayers by Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nrisimhadeva. Every class practically was on that. Prabhupada, when he would speak about Prahlad Maharaj, he would get very emotional, thinking about what a compassionate person he is. What a great devotee he is. And he's only 5 years old. So Prahlad Maharaj is very special. And he was teaching us that if we simply take shelter of Krishna, all problems are gone, all solutions are solved, everything is there. In the lotus feet of the Lord. Prabhupada mentions that. If you remember the lotus feet of the Lord, you will never be, what we say, deterred in the execution of your duty, simply by remembering Krishna's lotus feet. That's how powerful those lotus feet. Make an experiment. Just be doing something and start thinking of Krishna's lotus feet, and you'll find everything just changes, becomes wonderful. But the tendency is that we always try to see that whatever I'm doing and whatever accomplishments comes by what I'm doing, it's up to me to make it happen. It's up to you to try. But you should know by taking shelter of Krishna, everything is successful. That's why we say, Jai. Jai. Jai means victory. Jai means victory. That a devotee is always victorious in happiness and distress because he takes shelter of the Lord. And so this is what Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us. So today is a very important day in our Vaishnava calendar. We worship Lord Nrisimhadev, and Lord Nrisimhadev gives protection against evil and dangerous elements. He destroys material illusions, and he destroys material desires. These are the three features of Lord Nrisimhadev's mercy upon his devotees. So we pray to the Lord. Sri Nrisimha, Jai Nrisimha, Jai Jai Sri Nrisimha. Palada Desha, Paya Padma, Mukha Padma, Bringham. That is our prayer. We always pray like Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada said, and he said it a few times, you can become like Prahlad Maharaj. He wasn't just saying that. He said, if you develop the absorption in devotional service, then you can become like Prahlad Maharaj. So that's available. And when we are absorbed in devotional service, material energy is no longer present. It's gone completely. So take some time. And although today is the day that we honor Lord Nrisimhadev, we should maybe take some time even for the following days to read about his pastimes, to chant his mantras, to glorify Lord Nrisimhadev. Because in this particular age, Lord Nrisimhadev has a lot of work to do. He's probably the busiest of all manifestations of Krishna. It's Kali Yuga. Kalair Dosha Nidhi Rajan. This age is an ocean of faults. And therefore, I think, I won't ask you personally, but I know many of you have had experiences with Lord Nrisimhadev. It's just a fact. He appears in the life of devotees many times, either to save them or to help them in their devotional service. I told a few stories the other day. There's one I didn't tell. I was trying to think of the one I didn't tell today. Should I tell one of the ones I told?
Yes, yes.
That's not very much yes out there. I'll end with one story because I know everybody is waiting for the favorite mantra. Sadida Vichachal. We all are. I mean, Prabhupada said, fasting is feasting, and feasting is fasting. And there's no difference. So when you feast, when you fast, you can feast, and when you feast, you're ready for fast again. which one should I tell? Oh, this is the one I didn't tell. It was Germany. And the devotees were doing Harinam Sankirtan. They were in one of these red light districts where there was a lot of gang people and prostitutes and bars and clubs and places like that. Devotees always like to go to these places to do Harinam for some reason. They're in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. They're compassionate. They want to go to the lowest of the low. So there was one, the devotees were chanting and chanting, and then there was this one big person. He was more like a motorcycle guy. He looked like one of the, Yamadutas. Yamadutas. He was big, ugly, had chains on his leather jacket, big boots, something from a movie, you know. And he saw the devotees across the street, and he started throwing beer cans and beer bottles at the devotees. Some of the devotees wanted to leave, but the leader told me this story. He said, I just told the devotees, you just chant Nrisimhadev. So they were chanting Nrisimhadev, and they were continuing with their kirtan by chanting Nrisimhadev. the man became even more angry. So now he decides to go after the devotees. So he starts crossing the street, coming at the devotees. A car is driving along. And the car sees the devotees, the driver, and he starts waving to the devotees, and he forgets to look where he's going. Haribo. He got, what we say, Nisringa Dev's mercy. Another story, again, in Germany. Another man, big guy, really big. He saw the devotees. He became really angry. He came charging at the devotees. He ran. He was huge. He got close to the devotees. All of a sudden, everybody couldn't understand what happened. He stopped. His body went up in the air. When came down, he landed flat on his back. Heart attack. This happened in Germany also. The devotees were chanting the Sringa prayers. So as soon as one, we don't like to see people killed, but still, this is what happens when one tries to harm the devotees and the devotees take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So there are many, many stories how the Sringa Dev, I'll tell one nice story. I think maybe you want a nice story because you're all so nice. So one devotee, he was a brahmachari and he was serving Lord Nisringa Dev in Sri Mayapur Dham. And he was the pujari. And so that night he went to the ashram to go to sleep. And it was getting on some time. And then he was sleeping in a bunk bed. So he was on the top and there was another devotee on the bottom. So at one point, he's sleeping. He feels the whole bed shaking. And he's thinking, oh, I guess the devotee on the bottom is getting up. But the shaking keeps going. He wakes up, he looks up, and there's Nisringa Dev sitting on the edge of his bunk. He sits straight up. Lord Nisringa Dev takes his hand and puts it on the boy's shoulder and says, you know, when you wake me up, you shine that light in my eyes. Don't do that. Imagine getting woken up like that. Lord Nisringa Dev is kind of like reprimanding you. The devotee, and then the Lord disappeared. And then the devotee, he just jumped out of bed and he was like in, I don't know if you could say ecstasy, but there was some emotional turmoil. And he went running and he ran out of the ashram and ran into the temple. But the thing is, he forgot to get dressed. And he was running around in his underwear. And some people were in the temple and they were thinking, Of course, a few people notified him that, you know, this is not the normal temple dress. So, and then he was quite embarrassed. But then he told the story, what happened. The Lord came and told him like that. There was one girl, she was having problems with her eyes. And she had made some new eyes for Lord Nisringa Dev. And when the pujari put those new eyes on Lord Nisringa Dev, that girl's eyes became healed. Govinda, you know these stories? Pankajangri tells these stories. He tells a whole list of these stories. Mayapur Nisringa Dev is always active doing something to save his devotees. There's so many nice stories. But I won't be taking up too much of your time because it's getting late and I know you all want to. Because honoring the feast is one of the most important parts of a ceremony. To honor the Lord means to honor the Lord's prasadam. So thank you very much for your kind attention and everybody take shelter of Lord Nisringa Dev and pray for his mercy. Sri Nisringa, Jai Nisringa, Jai Jai Sri Nidev, Palada Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bring, Sri Nisringa Bhagavan Ki, Sri Palad Maharaj Ki, Gaur Premanande Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Hare Krishna.